Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Why we're starting to normalize being single.
Yep. Even people in committed relationships are being told reasons why they just suspect their partner. Do you get what I mean? And I think it's because we've genuinely lost a belief in the idea of commitment.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? And people being faithful.
Yeah, never getting commitment. Commitment issues. Commitment folks. Even things like money, especially for women. One of the big reasons that a lot of women got married back in the day was financial security and stability. And now sisters are out here getting their own checks.
They're making more money than men.
That part.
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth, and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about singleness.
Being single.
Being single in 2024.
Living single.
Navigating the single era. The single era. Because it seems to be an era for a lot of people right now. Mm-hmm. And should we really be giving up on romantic relationships after
all? No.
Are we? You sound like such an auntie.
No, we shouldn't do that.
So we're going to be getting into all of that and more in this episode. Is it still possible to find Mr. Right in 2024? Yeah. Or whoever is right for you, child? A lot of folks are not right now. So fingers crossed. But before we get into that, we definitely have a couple of housekeeping news. We need to make sure that the house swept. First of all, if you guys have been following us on the social media, we made the announcement last week. If you haven't seen it, you're a mess. And that's because we are officially Billboard babies. Woo! That's right. Shout out to Spotify for supporting the sisterhood and putting us up, our podcast,
on a
billboard. And not just one, but three.
Around the UK. Can you imagine? Leicester Square, Glasgow, Cardiff. You will see us. Well, you won't anymore. By the time this episode is out, it's done.
Too late. Unless you're listening on Sunday.
Yeah, then maybe you can run outside. Yeah. No, but by the time you've read this, it's the night. It's the evening. It's done. But since Thursday, we have been up on billboards around the UK. As a Spotify podcast, we're not exclusively on Spotify. If y'all want to cut us a check,
right? Hello,
want to write us a deal?
Hello,
we'll
somebody.
Think about it.
We'll talk.
But yeah, we're not exclusively on Spotify. But Spotify was like, "Listen, what you guys are doing is dope. Your community is awesome. We want to spotlight you guys," and so we were spotlighted. So honestly, thank you for your support. Every download. Every review, we are over 3,000 five-star reviews. Every review really, really helps, really matters, and has put this community, this podcast, on the radar of some big, big people.
Big boys.
Also, shout out to Jessie?
Yeah, Jessie.
Jessie, not me, shortening and already shortening.
I'm screaming, she said we're best mates. We are.
Shout out to Jessie from Spotify. Thank you so much, sis, for reaching out to us about this opportunity and really advocating for us to get that place on that billboard. Shout out to our team for handling this. Like, just thank you to everybody, man.
Just
you know that Whitney Houston meme. There's just thank you to every single person. Because we couldn't have done this without you. And it's a really big milestone, a massive recognition. Shout out to Michael, the photographer.
Yo. So guys, imagine we turned up and it's early in the morning.
It's like freezing
Saturday, cold to the extent that I was even complaining to Courtney. I said, my ears are cold. Like, you know, when there's certain body parts that when it's cold and you feel that cold, it's biting you.
Yeah.
We rock up. It's like just before 9 a.m. Come and see Michael, the photographer, comes up to us and he's like, hi guys, I'm here on behalf of Spotify to make sure that we capture the moment.
Literally.
You were just like, Michael.
Bruh. And Michael. He had been there for like the last 3 days at different points to just capture. And he had shown us pictures he had taken of our billboard.
Incredible.
On behalf of Spotify. And so just thank you so much to the Spotify team for making sure that we had someone to capture that moment of us. But also shout out to Michael himself, who made it even more momentous.
Yeah.
Like he just, the good words vibes, that he was speaking, like just speaking so much life into us and just really celebrating what it is we're doing. And he made sure we did not neglect the fact that this was such a big deal. And so, yeah, this is a really, really big deal. A few slides after us was the receipts.
Yeah, shout out to the receipts.
Shout out to the receipts. Shout out to Tolly. If you don't know, last year at our book launch, she hosted and moderated the whole event. So, like, it was just so nice to see ourselves just up there, Black women killing it. But also get to celebrate some of our sisters as well and people we look up to.
Shout out to D Block.
Shout Iceland out to D Block, Unknown T. Everybody else.
Iceland Air. Iceland Air. No, guys.
Budget. Marketing budget. Maybe every we should reach out for a collab.
I would be interested. Every other slide, Iceland
Air. Take a cheeky trip to Reykjavik.
We can't talk, exactly. But we can't talk about the veracity of the experience on Iceland Air. But we could if Iceland Air reached out to us. And if you do,
we
want
are available
to, hello at tmysisters.com. You know on LinkedIn when you have literally, the open for open work? You're open for work. If you'd like to collaborate,
literally.
Enter into the DMs, enter into our emails,
we're
all
around.
Of that.
We're around.
So thank you so much, sisters. We love you. Thank you so much for the support. Just a wonderful way to usher in the new season. Woo-hoo. Getting into it.
Season 5, it's here.
Do we have any other housekeeping?
Yes. Keep your eyes peeled, as Renee mentioned, about our socials. Follow us because in the next couple of weeks, like 2-3 weeks,
literally,
we have another amount of amazing news coming out about like just fun stuff fun in the stuff. TMS world. Real fun stuff. A little manifesto, whatever.
Just a little.
But yeah, honestly, we just... this year's lining up to be one of the best yet. And it's just been nice to see that every year we truly do go from glory to glory, man.
Going from glory
to
glory.
God thanks.
Also, another housekeeping announcement for the sisters in South Africa. Now, you guys have been... Let's go. You guys have been in our DMs on our next standard of business about this live appearance that we'll be doing in South Africa.
Yes.
We will put the link below to follow for updates. We are still in the process of sorting all of those out.
Logistics.
Shout out to the Sorted Chalet team.
Big heart,
we are going
sisters.
To be in South Africa the first and second week of February, baby. So please, sisters, if you want more updates, sign up below, specifically the girlies in South Africa.
Yeah.
And as soon as details are out, you will be first to know.
For real.
So please, oh, don't, you've got us by the neck.
Yeah.
Got us by my collar.
And some of you managed, despite last week, and this is why this sisterhood, we really do love you guys.
Yeah.
Some of you managed to somehow find your way onto this trip last week.
Stop it.
The amount of DMs I got that, like, I know you said in the podcast, but I'm shooting my shot. And now you're on the trip.
There you go.
So we thank God.
And now you're coming.
Now you're coming. So yeah, South Africa is lining up to be an amazing trip with amazing women.
So much fun.
Oh, it's just great.
It's just great.
It's just great.
We love it. We love you guys. Thank you very much. God bless
really
you. God bless you.
We really do.
The sisterhood is becoming.
It is.
But whilst we're becoming, we also need to support other sisters in becoming.
That is our job.
So without further ado, we have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Let us get into
Let
it.
Let us.
Oh, CDV, this dilemma. Hey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whew. First of all,
wow.
Hey, sisters.
Hey.
Thank you so much for the work you do.
It's all right.
I will admit I am not that constant with listening to the podcast, it's but you guys pour so much into me.
We try.
I'm going to remove your name, sis, because nobody needs to know your name.
Nah, honestly, anonymous.
But in true fashion, I come from Lesotho, which is the kidney of South Africa, as say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to the South African sisters.
Wow.
I do have a dilemma. I might be pregnant. Wait.
God be the glory.
Wait. I do have a dilemma. I might be pregnant with a man whose ex also claims to be pregnant. It's just a mess, and I'll admit I'm hurt. He was honest from the onset about how they broke up. She was trying to trap him with a baby through witchcraft. And now she claims she's pregnant. I have missed... I was trying not to look at... Yeah, no, girl. Let me finish. I prayed and I repent for what I really did because I really love God. And I actually took your advice of putting him first in everything I do. But back to my point, he told me that I triggered him and he needs time to himself. And I understand that when two women who say they're pregnant with your babies, it is a lot.
Yeah, overwhelming.
I suggested we break up because I'd love to date a healed man, or at least someone who has gotten past his past. I go to therapy, I read the word and I pray. I've done and have made a lot of progress. Yeah. It would be unfair to be with someone who hasn't moved on from his past, but that decision did hurt me. Mm. He's very respectful to everyone around him. He respects himself and he respects me. He's a very sweet person who talks to everyone. He's kind and also loving. He's responsible. And I remember giving God a picture of the man that I want in terms of his features and his qualities. Mm. And I just saw that man when we met for the first time. Mm. He's the one who saw me from a distance. He makes me happy and he has been transparent about everything. I've met most of his friends and part of his family. Mm-hmm. Sisters, I love this man and his qualities. We have good chemistry and we've developed such a good friendship. Mm. My dilemma is, do I just let go or pray for him until he's okay and pray that he comes back to me? Mm-hmm. About my possible pregnancy, I still don't know and I'm scared. This is such a complicated situation. Yeah. He had also hinted that he wants to marry me, but suddenly there are so many problems arising. Am I having hope over nothing, or I could just go on and pray for him as he heals? Mm. That's in case I'm not pregnant. Am I delusional for thinking this might be a big spiritual battle? I love this man genuinely and I care about him. I really don't know if I'm making sense. I know I've said a lot. Please help or advise a sister.
Hey, sis. Mm. Well, okay, cool. We out here. We're here to help, okay? Firstly, thank you so much for trusting us with this dilemma. It's definitely not easy. And this is a judgment-free zone. So right. is the comment section. So honestly, we're just here for you, your well-being, your health, and all of that good stuff. First, you need to confirm whether you're pregnant or not. This whole I might be pregnant or not. Girl, go and get a pregnancy test. Go to the GP. Go to the doctor. Go to someone and just be like, let me confirm whether I am or I'm not. Because it seems like, obviously, because it is a huge deal, this is also... a big factor in the decisions you're about to make. And so the whole am I, aren't I adds an unnecessary layer of confusion and unknown to the situation. So go ahead and clarify, are you pregnant or are you not? Mm-hmm. The second thing that I would go ahead and say is somebody saying, like, hinting towards I might marry you, or hinting towards, you know, I don't want to be with my ex, hints are not things you could take to the bank. Mm. It's not a check. It's not an agreement. It's a hint. Do you get what I mean? So also, this man, if he really does want to be with you, he needs to start being serious. Yep. Especially if you guys are out here having unprotected sex, or maybe this was, you know, a bit of a slip up moment. Pregnancy can happen anyhow, child.
Right, right.
But if this, you guys are grown adults who know that the logical consequence of having sex with somebody is that you could have a child with them. Mm-hmm. You both need to be mentally prepared, as it seems like he may not have been, for that reality actually coming to pass. Mm-hmm. And what seems to have happened for him is two situations have caught up with him in a way which he probably wasn't anticipating. And I do want to have a lot of sympathy for him as well, because the same way it's a lot for you, it's probably a lot for him. Yep. But I think both of you need to really sit down and individually, like, with yourselves and just think, okay, what am I doing with my life here? Also, is this relationship actually something I really want to pursue? Now, as you said, you went to God, you prayed, this is exactly what you wanted, but sometimes God gives us what we ask for, and then it's only because he wants us to realize that that's actually not what we need.
Come on.
And sometimes the things that we go to God for, we're like, I want it exactly like this, this is my spec. That's what we see. Do you get what I mean? We kind of we manifest it. Like, it's our own desire that we manifest. And sometimes God allows us to have our will, even though it's not his will for us.
Yep.
And so the reason why I'm giving this is because don't make this what it's not. This might not be the person for you just because you really desire for it to be. And I'm not saying he's a good person or a bad person. I think both of you sound like you really do like each other and there's a fondness for each other, but a fondness doesn't necessarily mean a commitment. Mm-hmm. And what you need for this situation, it sounds like what you desire is actually a commitment. Yep. And unfortunately, if he doesn't make it explicitly clear to you and you don't make it explicitly clear to him what it is you desire and what you want and what your non-negotiable is, you're going to be running around in circles for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I think what you want from him is a committed relationship, and he doesn't know if he can give that to you. Yep. And so you really now need to think, is this the person I'm meant to be with now? Now, in terms of praying for him, I never say pray for a specific outcome when it comes to somebody else mm-hmm. who has to make a very big decision, right? You cannot control his behavior. And I think a huge part of witchcraft, since you mentioned it, yep. is the desire to control yep. a person, control their decisions, control the outcomes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to let go of the fact that you cannot control everything. Right. Do you get what I mean? So once you accept that factor, what you should be praying for, in my opinion, is God, if it is your perfect will for me, if you know that this will be for the good of me, then bring into my life the man who is actually for me. Mm. Give me the discernment to be able to see whether this man is actually that man. Yep. Give me the wisdom to know if this is the person I should pick to be my husband, mm-hmm. to be my mm-hmm. partner, to be the father of my future children. I really need clarity. And sometimes that clarity comes from stepping a bit back and not allowing yourself to be so obsessed with the thing you want, but be open to the idea that this might not actually be what I get, yep. but what I do end up getting will be for me right. and it will work for me. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so in terms of if you are pregnant though, this is a conversation you need to have. Obviously, it would be great to have his participation.
Yeah.
But if he does not participate, this responsibility is on you. You are the mother of this child. You are the person who has this child in your belly. Mm. So you have to make those decisions based on yourself, your circumstance. I'm not going to tell you what to do because we all have options. We all have such unique circumstances surrounding us. And whilst I definitely, in a previous point, it's funny, I was listening to the most recent episode of I Said What I Said, mm. and they were talking about a dilemma where a girl had had an abortion and she had had a big regret around having that abortion. And like, Jola said something which I heavily relate to, which was, you know, at a past stance, I would have been very like anti-abortion. But I think until you get into that position, you look at your own circumstances, yeah. you actually don't know anyone's headspace yeah. and why they needed to make the decisions they made. So I know that some people may be thinking, oh, abortion is so extreme. She doesn't even know she's pregnant. But I just want you to know, as a woman, you have options. You have options around what you would like to, what you want to do and what it is you can carry. And so whilst you may feel like, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure, this is why I'm saying the first step is, are you actually pregnant? Yeah. The second is, if you are not, you need to be asking God and you need to be asking yourself, is this really the situation I want to put myself through? Because it sounds quite emotionally draining. Mm-hmm, somebody mm-hmm. who's dealing with their ex is definitely pregnant. That's one thing you don't even know if you are. Their ex is definitely pregnant. Yep. So you now need to consider into the future, how am I going to be dealing with a guy who also has a newborn with another woman?
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Right. Do you want to deal with that? So factor that in. But what I'm saying is, if you are pregnant, there are so many options for you, but you need to be factoring that this is probably a direction. Obviously, we pray for the best, but yeah. this is probably something you're going to go on alone. I'm just being honest. Like, mm. it sounds like, even if you're not alone, his attention is going to be divided. Mm-hmm. He's going to be having two children who are around the same age with two different women in two different households. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take up a lot of responsibility for yourself as a future mother or as a pregnant person. So consider all of these things, but take out of it, I really want this man specifically. Please. I really want this outcome specifically. Mm-hmm. And begin to embrace that the best thing for you may not look like the thing you want.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would say, but you need yeah. to gain some clarity,
yeah.
like some serious clarity. Sorry, I've talked a lot, no, but that's what I would say.
You was absolutely spitting, sis, genuinely. And I love that you preface with saying this is a judgment-free zone.
Because yeah.
I think sometimes we can hear these kind of dilemmas and we're like, oh, this could never be me. Or we think we know the right way to deal with this. Yeah. And there isn't necessarily a right way. There's the right way for you. So sending lots of love, sis, is a very tough decision to be in, and it could easily be anybody. It could be us. It could be literally anyone. All it takes is a couple of decision making processes. It takes you being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It causes, you know, lapses of judgment.
Being in love.
Yeah, yeah, being in love. Yeah, being in love.
Get you far.
All of that. And for me, as I was even reading this dilemma, I was really thinking about this conception that you have of this man. I love that you touched on that, because we can get so wrapped up in the idea of what we think is God's best for us, not realizing that sometimes it's the counterfeit that comes first mm-hmm. before the real. And I think that with this guy, like, even thinking about the timeline, sis, the fact that his ex-girlfriend is pregnant at the same time as you, like, I don't know the ins and outs of the relationship in terms of timelines that you've expressed here, but it does feel like all of this is almost converging mm-hmm. on it, you know, in on itself. And I beg the question, not to kind of like doubt his character. I love the fact that you actually came to praise him, because it's very fleeting and far between that we actually have a dilemma praising a guy. No one that hasn't, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, it's actually quite rare that we...
Somebody who's sleeping with two people at the same time is quite interesting.
So this is where I wanted to go, but I wanted to preface with being nice. I think it's lovely that you preface with all of the good things that you see in him, but I think it's also important to gain that clarity, take that mega step back and really ask yourself, this guy that I want to be with, the timelines are very close together in both of us potentially being pregnant. So is everything in that capacity in terms of your confidence of being with this man? Are you absolutely certain that this is the man for you? Like, for me, it just seems too much of a coincidence of these timelines overlapping, or the fact that she's pregnant and now you're pregnant. Girl, that's very close together. Very close. And I don't want to suggest anything untoward, but I think you do need to take a very, very big step back and have, you know, apply some critical thinking. Does this man actually have enough distance between him and his ex for this relationship to actually be something I want to consider? Like, does it really make sense for me to pursue this man with my whole heart, knowing that not only is his ex-girlfriend pregnant, but now he will always be linked to this woman forever if she decides to continue with this pregnancy, right? There will always be some kind of linkage with this woman. And that's a very heavy burden to carry in of itself. But now adding into the mix with you potentially being pregnant, girl, you gotta know. Go take that test ASAP. Go and take that test ASAP. And if it does turn out that you are pregnant, as you were saying, responsibility. And you taking on the lion's share of that responsibility and being prepared to do that. Above and outside of your relationship with this man, you will now have a responsibility to a child, and that will have to take precedence, especially because you're currently in a place where you are not married to this man. So there's beyond the child at right now, there is nothing. Of course you can, you know, if you want to do the romantic thing, for sure. But the key thing that will be linking you to this guy is your child that you share together. So you would really need to think about, what is the dynamic going to be between you two? Can you co-parent well enough with the understanding that, you know, things are very complicated and you will have to take up the majority of the responsibility? And then thinking about the romantic stuff, is this really God's best for you? Like, really think about it. Is God's best this particular guy? He has great qualities. He has great characteristics. But this situation, this covenant, does it make sense for you? Does that look like God's best for you? I really urge you to think about that. And I know sometimes we can go to God and say, this is the guy for me, right? This is what exactly what I want. But is that really what God wants for you? Like, really meditating upon that, and even go into God's word and really reading, what does God's word say about covenant? What does it say about relationship? What does it say about things concerning me, and mapping yourself out onto that situation? Does this situation align with God's best for me? I would definitely encourage you to do that. And I think it's beautiful that this guy has been intentional in terms of, like, you know, you being around his family, you getting on with his friends and all that kind of stuff. But that is not enough. Expressing that you want to marry somebody is not enough. We need the ring, baby. We need the covenants, right? We need the covenant. We need the assurance. And I think with you taking the executive decision to break up with this guy, there's also, if you were to pursue a romantic relationship with him, there is a level of repair that will need to go into, you know, harvesting that relationship again, because this is just a difficult situation all around. And the last thing that you need right now, especially if you're potentially pregnant, is to be thinking, how do I now force this situation and force being with this guy just for the sake of marrying my identity or my my conception, right? My ideal, my conception of what I think God wants for me in this particular union. If it turns out that you are not pregnant, then sis, biggest step back.
Big
step. You need to be out in the road. Like, have you seen those videos of, like, massive step backs?
Literally, sis, get out of the front door.
That step back.
Get into the streets.
You need to be in the streets. Like, you need to step back and really evaluate the situation. Just because something presents as good doesn't mean that they're God.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like this guy, he's presenting as very good, but is it of God? And that in of itself might be a sign you got to step back. So yeah, that is what I would say.
Yeah,
it's a tricky situation.
Very hard.
And we definitely, we would not say that we are the experts on this situation. So sisters that are listening right now, if you have any experience, if you have any helpful thoughts, if you have anything positive to sow into this, we need you. Avengers assemble. Come and be put in your comments below in the comment section of YouTube. We need to hear it, please. But sis, we are praying for you. We are praying for the entire situation and everybody that is involved, the potential kids as well. We will keep them in our prayers. But gain that clarity. Be very, very intentional about your next moves and try and remove your emotions and what you desire out of it. We need to think about what is the best out of this situation for you and for the kids that may be involved.
And what's the current reality?
Stark facts. Child, well, it's not easy.
It's not at all. It's not at all.
But
you need to leave that bad alone.
Oh, biggest step back. Biggest of steps back. Yeah. In fact, you might trip over yourself. Come back, girl. Kids, sending lots and lots of love.
Bruh.
But on the other side of the spectrum, sis is entangled with someone. We're gonna be talking about right now is the fact that the girlies are disentangled.
Oh, God,
the sisters, Renee. Nah, girl. The biggest step back. It feels like right now, a lot of people are stepping back and giving back on romantic relationships. So I actually wanted to start there because it's one thing for singleness to be a reality for a lot of women right now. But at the moment, it seems like a lot of women are intentionally single.
Right.
So I was doing even my research into some of like the statistics and stuff like that. Apparently, 2020 was the first year where the majority of women over 30 had no kids.
Right.
We're also seeing a decline in marriages. We're seeing a decline in long-term romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. We're seeing an increase in loneliness. What is it about the current pervasive culture? Like, what are some of the contributing factors as to why we're starting to normalize being single?
Peace out.
Hustle hard.
That's interesting. I think starting on the more positive things, I think people are no longer deciding to like settle for unhealthy relationships.
Absolutely.
I think that people are like, okay, I'm happy and content with waiting for someone, and there isn't as much societal pressure. Whilst there is still societal pressure, there isn't as much as in previous decades and centuries, where it's like, no, like your identity as a woman is heavily dependent on your marital status and you getting married. Nowadays there isn't that much. You know, women are out here, they're working, they can provide for themselves, they can gather up their own status. Where it's like, actually, marriage may not be that much of a high stakes for us. And so I think that then brings us down to a level of, I'm searching for companionship and I won't settle for the person who I'm a companion with, because you're not necessarily just a sole provider or anything like that. Like, I'm looking for a friend or I'm looking for a partner.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that's another thing, which I think is actually quite good, because it gives us the, in theory, it gives us the potential of having just really happy marriages where people are in there because they're happy, they're content with their person. Yeah. And it's more like friendships and partnership than it is that kind of super patriarchal, capitalistic, I need a man for survival and protection kind of thing. However, I think that's in theory. In practice, I think because the dating streets, like I said last week, it's a swamp. I think that I said that in TLS. It's a bit of a swamp. I think a lot of people are kind of turned off at the idea of relationships, number one. Number two, it's a really big commitment, which I think people assume we should be perfectly prepared for, and there aren't as many people embracing the idea of getting married quote unquote unprepared. So for example, like, oh, our finances just aren't there yet. So a lot of people I think are more so cohabiting with their partner than they are like getting married or making plans to have children, because even now, like in this capital, this financial environment or economic environment, children are so expensive. Children are so expensive.
Ridiculous.
And how many financial, you know, recessions and crises you back have to live through before you're like, I actually can't even afford a house, let alone to have multiple children. Do you get what I mean? So I think because it's like, I need to wait till I get financially stable, I also can afford to wait till I actually get married. And I think that's on men's side and women's side, where it's like, I'm trying to find stability here financially. And that's just becoming harder and harder, especially in much metropolitan cities that are becoming more and more expensive to live in. And then I think on the flip side, there are a lot of women who have kind of given up on the idea of romantic relationships working. I think with the rise of women being more able to be independent, it's kind of like, why should I settle? Why should I put up with something I don't want to put up with? And I think there are a lot of men as well who have, at the same rate, decided, I don't need to get married right now. I'm actually really enjoying the freedom of singleness. I'm really enjoying the freedom of just getting to be independent. And I think a lot of women have also embraced that freedom, where it's like, actually to be childless, to be without a husband or without a partner, a serious partner, is freeing. Like, it's actually really nice to get to just do me. And I think more women are embracing that wave of doing them, and I'm less afraid of that title, which is thrown around less and less, of being a spinster. It's just like, nah, you know, it's no longer so much of a cultural taboo to be 30, 35 and be single and be traveling and be, you know, investing in stuff or just doing you, building your companies and high flying in your career, or just chilling. Less people are scared, and especially with like more scientific technology, which allows you to do like freezing your eggs and prepare for childbearing later in life, people are just less afraid at the same time. So I think those statistics are moving with the social moves of what's happening in culture, where it's like, when science, religion, culture all aligns with get married later in life, people are naturally going to get married later in life. But I do think, unfortunately, there is that huge contribution of relationships are just becoming harder. Consistent relationships are it's not that they're becoming harder, they're becoming harder to maintain.
I agree.
In a world where there are so many opinions and so many new pressure points, I would say. Like, I know there's the statistic about how many people come into marriage counseling or even go before divorce attorneys and are like, the main cause of our disagreement and our irreconcilable differences, is social media. Do you get what I mean? Like, their use of social media, their, you know, connectedness with people I don't want them to be connected to, etc. And I think that's really interesting, because now there's a clear new pressure point on relationships, on serious relationships, which is our hyper-connectedness through the internet and the temptations that that can present to someone who is in a romantic relationship, to either be unfaithful or to emotionally cheat or to just be like, even how many dilemmas do we get where it's like, oh, my partner isn't posting me, and it's like this new level of complexity in romantic relationships. So I think that's one thing. I think there are pros, people see the pros of singleness, and people also see the cons of committed relationships, and that's why we're just overall seeing a decline.
No, I absolutely love that. I love, it was given point evidence explanation. I love what you're saying about the new pressure points that are coming into play, especially as we continue to grow, progress. Progressivism. I feel like that is actually like a bunch of
It's a given big lie.
Declinism. It's given we're going there. It's funny, especially as you were saying around like hyperconnectivity, that we are the loneliest generation, that we are the generation that seeks to have instant gratification, and yet we are incapable of holding on to long-term committed relationships. And I love what you were saying around like irreconcilable differences. Even this whole idea of irreconcilable differences, I think the reality of like long-term relationships now becomes so unappealing because people don't actually want to deal with those challenges to you. I was listening recently to Michelle Obama's podcast and The Light We Carry, and
a babe.
I love her.
An absolute babe.
I love her. And what she said ruffled quite a few feathers on social media, because she was talking about the fact that she had been obviously married to Barack for a substantial amount of time, and the reality of dealing with months, weeks, years in which her marriage was actually going through a lot, and that she didn't like, she didn't like her partner. And this is Barack Obama, the president, the former president of the United States. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hearing from the first lady that you didn't like your husband for at least 5 years is not really crazy. Giving, do you know what I mean? It's giving, I don't want to be with somebody that I dislike for 5 years. Or even listening to The Basement, Tim Ross, love that guy. Listening to some of his reflections on his relationship with Juliet, and he adores that woman. But there were times in their relationship where it was hard. And I think we've actually gotten to a place where a lot of people don't want to deal with hard. We don't want to deal with hard things. We don't want to deal with hard partners. We don't want to deal with hard seasons. We actually want to have a life of ease, especially because it feels like we are now growing up in an environment where everything is hard. Economic instability is harder to, you know, raise a kid. Back in the day, we could buy houses for like 5p. Now it's 50,000 racks. Do you know what I mean? 500,000 racks. Back in the day, and this is not me saying that we should all go back in the day, because, you know, pros and cons. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we are black women. We're very aware.
Do you know what? This is very aware. I was going to say that. So tangential. But you know when people are like, oh, I wish I could go back to the 1960s.
I was born in the 50s. Wrong era. I was born in the right time.
Lord have mercy, because I'm telling you.
I was born for such a time as this. Ancestors. Because I ain't trying to fight nobody, honestly.
No, because I'm not interested in going back. And they're like, oh, you know, cottage core and stuff like that. It's like, baby, some of us would not be.
Because you're white. It's because you're white.
Like, I don't even know if I would make the house. You know what I mean? Some of us would be on the field.
Biggest fancy.
You're telling me to go back.
Oh, me that even working from home is tiresome. You want me to work in the field?
On the field. For somebody that despises me.
And I get whipped at the end of the day. Hey.
And they don't even pay. No, man. Our ancestors.
And then they'll steal my children.
And then you'll tell me to get out of this bar. Like, just throughout the ages, you'll tell me to get out of this bar because I'm black.
Okay.
Hey. You're jokers.
I was born at the right time.
I was born at the right time. Right. Where you now have this kind of romanticization of prior decades where obviously women didn't have a lot of like ownership. We didn't even have voting rights and all that kind of stuff. But getting into like long-term committed relationships was symbiotic with you getting ownership, symbiotic with you getting status, getting to, you know, build a family. That was like the pinnacle of femininity. And that, as much as it was difficult, there were different eases that came with that, right? And now we're in an era where women are now fending for themselves. People are fending for themselves, as you were saying. We're in a capitalistic society where it's every man for themselves. And is that a conducive environment for long-term stable relationships? Not necessarily.
At all.
Because now you're bringing this mentality of, I'm watching my own into relationships. Yes. How much can I make sure I've got my own back? Yes. And the thing is, I think as much as we are talking about modernism and progressivism, a lot of people still haven't left behind a lot of the ideas that they have around femininity and masculinity and the reality of where we're currently at in modernity. So you've got people, this is why I think the rise of like red pill content, but also equally femininity content and boss babes, this is why they clash so much. Because on the one hand, you have men and women that still believe in traditional ideals of what men and women should bring to a relationship. But then on the other hand, everybody wants to fend for themselves. Yeah. I want to make sure that they have their own. Yeah. I want to make sure that, you know, they're not giving away too much of themselves in this relationship. So I think it's very, very unfortunate that we've gotten to this place.
It really is. You're so right. And a lot of these systems don't work when everybody doesn't play their part.
Exactly.
And everyone's trying to force everybody to play their role. And it's like, I don't want to play a role in your system. I've created my own system that works for me. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting that you say that, because I do think the individualistic mindset that a lot of us have been encouraged to have just through life, capitalism, the Western world as well, has definitely meant that healthy families and communities in general, like of extended family, even that concept has become almost foreign to a lot of us who, especially if you're like in second generation like us, we weren't necessarily raised with that. But because our parents moved to these Western worlds where actually the same ideals around family, community, collectivism were not upheld, they just had to lose it over time. Do you get what I mean? Like, as much as, yes, we did grow up with the hall parties and the aunties and uncles, you were very much aware that we are by ourselves. Mm. This unit of this household is all that we really have. And as time goes on, you will even all depart. Like, we don't even all live near each other. It's funny because recently I've been having like conversations conversations around with my family around like, oh, where's everyone going to live and everyone going to move? And it's funny how it takes a while before we all get to the idea of, oh, but wouldn't we all like to live near each other?
Yeah,
it's like, but I'm trying to do what fits in my budget with my career plans, with, you know, my goals. And it's very much my.
Yep.
And it then makes it hard to even have that sense of collectivity.
Yep.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And people being connected with each other in real life, because it's very much, we use technology as a supplement, right? It's like, no, but I'll always call you and we can FaceTime. And then before you realize it, you don't live near your friends, you don't live near your family, you live near by yourself. And then you're trying to rely on, again, technology, like dating sites and stuff to get you connected with people. And then you really see people showing their ass.
Their whole bum cheeks.
Well.
Their actual cheeks. Sorry, the reason I said it's so tangential, but I watched Ferrari and there was like a scene where this man's whole butt
bum
cheeks,
was on the screen. I said,
good afternoon. Hi, bum cheeks.
Yeah. That's funny.
Sorry, I agree with that so, so much, man. Like, we are so connected and yet not connected at all. Like, there's just no depth below the
and
surface.
And not connected in the right ways.
Exactly. It's like, I can see everything. Like, it even makes me think of, there was a conversation I was having with one of my friends who was talking about, like, long-term partnerships and issues right now. And this instant gratification culture that we have turned into. It's all about, what can I have now. And not thinking about, what are the benefits of waiting, of building, of creating with somebody. You've got a whole bunch of people that are hyper hooked to, you know, pornography and all sorts of things, where dating sites, where they can get a lot of the things where traditionally you would have to be in a long-term commitment to have access to. Even things like money, especially for women. One of the big reasons that a lot of women got married back in the day was financial security and stability. And now sisters are out here getting their own checks.
And they're making money. More than men.
That part. I'd be a good delusional when they said, come on, let's
let's raise up the bar.
You know, just a small. I don't expect you, even though there are some ladies that
are expecting way too much.
Y'all are a bit delusional.
Let's go into deep into that.
Yeah, because said, I got something for somebody.
No, I think it's interesting because it's always the sides of the coin, right? And it's easy for it to flip in any direction where it's like, okay, yeah, just bring your money up. Do you get what I mean? But then at the same time, living in the economic reality that we're in hard financial times right now.
It's hard.
Very hard financial times. But also, what do we consider respectable?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's delusional.
Is it delulu? Is not always the salulu.
It's not always the salulu.
It's not. And you gotta be realistic sometimes, sis. It's okay. All right. We're not telling you to, you know,
lower your standards.
Marry a frog. Like, you ain't
living
got
a shack.
Yeah, live in a shack. Although there are some people that live in shacks that are very happy.
Yeah, they are.
And you know,
but that's the thing, because the priority is what will make me happy.
Yeah, that's true.
Not what will look good.
It's all about values.
Values.
Alignment. Speaking of values, alignment, all that kind of good stuff. One of the core reasons that a lot of women in particular talk about desiring to be single is because they feel that the dating pool, and you mentioned this last week, right? And we've been talking about this as well. The dating pool feels like a swamp.
Sewage.
And I think that social media, the sharings and findings from previous generations, a lot of us probably have some kind of example, some kind of reference point of a broken relationship, a broken marriage.
Sadly.
We're hearing stories of men and weaponized incompetence in relationships too.
Big one.
Like, what are, in terms of like the dating pool mm-hmm. itself and some of the issues, the character traits, the problems that we're seeing more and more that are being highlighted, like, what are some of the key features that are preventing women from wanting to engage in long-term romantic relationships, especially with men?
With the mans, the heterosexual
the
mans.
Heterosexuals.
An overall lack of commitment.
Right.
From everybody. From everybody.
She said, you.
No. To be very honest, I think even from that dilemma, right, it's I like you.
Yeah.
I would love the idea of being with you.
I like
but
you.
But to commit and to do the very hard things that commitment entails
right.
is something that people are not going to do. Oh. Do you get what I mean? So also when there's that lack of security, there's a lack of trust. I think it just arouses an overall atmosphere of suspicion amongst men and women. Yep. Even people in committed relationships are being told reasons why they should suspect their partner. Do you get what I mean? And I think it's because we've genuinely lost a belief in the idea of commitment.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? And people being faithful like that idea of faithful that idea of faithfulness seems so abstract and so idealistic and I think we're being badgered from so many different directions telling us why would you even that's a fairy tale, the idea of somebody being faithful. But I think deep down a lot of us desire that kind of security, even just from romantic partners, but even in friendships, that craving that, do you actually have my back? Do you actually have my best interest at heart? Will you actually keep my word? And I keep your word, sorry. And I think with more and more people having trust issues, it's hard to even consider being with someone in such an intimate way if you don't even know you can trust them, if you don't even know they'll be committed and 100%. Be faithful, and that they desire commitment on their side. Because I think a lot of women are also scared to make it seem like they're the one pushing for commitment. No one wants to look desperate. No one wants to be embarrassed. People don't even want to admit that they're lonely. Do you get what I mean? But I think a lot of women want to see that proactivity on the other side from their partner who's like, no, I do want to marry you and I'm making those steps to actually marry you.
Right,
and I think people aren't seeing that proactivity there. And so they're just kind of like recoiling a bit.
No, I definitely agree with that.
I think another issue is genuinely this financial thing is actually a big one. This financial thing is
also, can we just say, even in terms of like long-term relationships, because I think social media has fed into this a lot.
The biggest.
But this idea that to sustain a long-term relationship, you have to be making bags.
What?
That your wedding has to be 100K.
If you're not even driving a Range, don't even think about asking me on a date.
I don't want to go to the Cheesecake Factory as a first date. First of all, I'm going.
Absolutely.
Because they got some nice sweet
that food at that Cheesecake Factory.
I personally like the Cheesecake Factory, so brilliant. I love it.
I would not be upset whatsoever. But yeah, things like that, right, where it's like, and I'm just going to be honest, I think we are fed into the optics a lot, where it's like, oh my gosh. And a lot of us,
go on girl,
a lot of us, a lot of people, it's not even what they want. It's what they believe people will think.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Do you get what
Keeping
I mean?
Up like, with the Joneses.
If I tell you we went to Cheesecake Factory on our first date, I know I might have liked it, but your reaction of, he took you to the Cheesecake Factory on the first date, is he okay? Does he rate you? Like, is that, do you get what I mean? Like, all of that. My first date was at Hakkasan. My first date was like this. And it just makes you think, like, this isn't something I can brag about, even though you enjoy it. And I think we are putting optics over our own joy, where it's like, even though you're in love, sis, you're like, oh, this guy knows what I like. Like, I actually really like him. You're scared because you can't brag the same way you think other people are bragging. But oftentimes you have on the behind the scenes, the like we were saying about values, you actually have what a lot of people lack behind the scenes, which is genuine compatibility and like for your partner.
Do you know what I mean? Some of you guys are dating drug dealers just because optically it looks you're dating a guy that's got the bag.
Yeah. Or you're dating a guy who has the bag and they're a good person, but you don't like them. And I think a lot of people are like, no, I don't need to like them. The bag will cover things. No. And it's like, this is a life partner.
Delusional.
If you don't like the way they reason, the way they make decisions, if you don't like their character, if you don't even like their personality, do you think that the things that they buy you will be able to cover things?
Delusional.
And I think it all just, it's an individual preference though. Because there are some women who are like, no, because the way I conceptualize marriage in my head is this man is pretty much 99% just a provider.
Yep.
The provider of stability, financial stability at that of this household and of this family unit. Mm-hmm. And so for you, your priority and your value is how much do you bring to the table?
Right.
And I'm not going to knock anyone because your situation will work for you. But I think when you start to think that every person should think like that, you have people who are like, actually, I actually don't mind doing 50-50, or I actually don't mind earning more than you, or I don't mind you coming onto my thing.
Right, right.
But you make me happy. And so those women with that mindset are then like, ooh, should I actually be ashamed of that?
Yeah.
Like you come on an app and somebody's telling you like, how can you be a woman and doing that? Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Yep.
Do you get what I mean?
And it's like, sprinkle,
and then it's suddenly you're embarrassed. Yeah. And a lot of us, the thing we cannot deal with is embarrassment and shame. Read
much,
anything,
man,
or listen to anything from Brené Brown, yep, and she'll tell you that is catastrophic. Yep. For us as human beings. And so I think there's a lot of, unfortunately, there's a lot of shame going around about dating and relationships and what you should accept and what you shouldn't accept, instead of us to really spread the message that all of this is really relative, it's really unique to you, and actually the overall value is, if you like it, I love it.
You actually need to be
partners. If you're happy, if it works,
you actually need to be partners. And that thought actually conjured up something a little bit tangential for me. But I was reading into like divorce rates and stuff like that. There was, in terms of the instances of divorce between women and men, so the woman is earning more than the guy, they're like one of the highest populations for divorce. And it's not necessarily because she's making more money, but it's that the division. So I want to speak to the bad dev. You guys need to. No. Genuinely. Because when I saw this, I said, oh, is it because, you know, she's doing her boss babe and all that kind of stuff?
Sorry, I interrupted you. Explain the stat. Like
the stat, yeah. So basically, of the folks that get divorced the most, it's often between men and women that have disparity in their finances. So the woman is earning more than the guy. But the reason cited is not because of financial differences, it's irreconcilable differences. And the difference being that the division of household labor is actually more for the woman that's also earning more than the guy.
The deal burden.
And in my head, oh my gosh, I thought about, like, you know, in Issa Rae's show,
Insecure.
It made me think of like Lawrence and Issa in the very beginning, when this guy was lied on the couch and she was and she came home and he had been doing nothing. And it's like, I think I don't want women to be trapped in this idea of you have to be a superwoman in order to maintain a partnership with a man.
Mm-mm-mm.
Being married to somebody is about partnership across the spectrum. It's not just about performing femininity whilst also trying to keep up with moderninity, right? It's about partnering with somebody. So if I'm going to work and I'm making more racks than you, baby, you better sweep that house. By the time I get home.
And I need you to be fine doing it.
And that's
the thing. I need you to be finding. And I think that's what a lot of us need to do. You've highlighted such a great point. It's literally you sitting down at the table with your partner and being like, sorry, this has nothing to do with singleness. Well, maybe we'll circle back. But you sitting down with your partner and being like, forget everything you hear outside of this house. Forget what your parents did.
Yep.
Forget what my parents did. Forget what you're reading on the internet. Forget what your boss is doing at their house. Everybody else does not matter.
Right, right.
We need to devise up a custom strategy our house that will allow this dynamic, this relationship, this household to actually function. What are the different categories? Of course, we know to live, we need food, we need shelter, clean shelter, hopefully. And we also
emphasis
need
on the clean.
Money. We need cash, dollar.
This is
how much we need to function. And clearly we know that we're expanding energy to be able to make this money. If I'm going to go and bring 70%, I'm going to come home tired.
Yep.
I just want you to know I'm going to come home tired. And so if you, as a logical human being, should also be like, but this is what I can do to help you. And this is what companionship is lacking. This, like you said, everyone's coming into relationships thinking, what can I get out for me?
Mm.
And not, how can I help you?
Yep.
Right? And how can you help me? Because it's all reciprocal. And I think that's the thing that relationships seem to be not portrayed as, which is a reciprocal system.
You know? No, I absolutely adore that. Circling back to, you know, singleness, we've talked quite a lot about just dynamics within relationships.
Yeah.
Why relationships are looking so unappealing right now.
Oh my God.
You're never getting commitment. Commitment issues, commitment phobes. But at the end of the day, as two Christian women that desire, you know, two Christian women
of God.
Wogs.
W-O-G.
Wogs. As two woggies out here. I don't know why wog sounds so bad.
Isn't that racist?
Guys, I meant A-W-O-G. I don't want to say walking.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna say I'm a racist. Guys, I'm so sorry.
I meant W-O-G.
Guys, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, they won't cancel you. They know where you're coming.
Imperialists. Sorry.
Do you want me to take it out? So do you want to keep it?
I know they know. I said women of God. They know the context. No, guys, don't use this to cancel me. This is going to come back in 10 years. They'll say I'm racist.
Women of God. W-O-G.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was doing something smart. Jeez, Louise. I'm so sorry.
No, my
heart.
It went up to me. Lord have mercy.
I'm so sorry, guys. I even went to go and see abbreviation. Hey.
God, not sorry, the woggies.
I went to go say woggy.
Oh, God. You're actually so funny.
Oh, no, they said she's an imperialist, guys. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
Woman of God. Full title.
Hey, the conservatives, those like extremes. We might have opened up a new audience, bruv.
This is what we need to
white supremacists. Yeah, that they, we might need to take that segment. I'm so sorry, guys. But as two Christian women that desire marriage, relationships, all that kind of stuff, a lot of the content around like femininity, you know, singleness, womanhood is around preparing yourself to step into a relationship,
marriage,
you know, being somebody's wife, mother, you know. And this is not to say that all of these things are bad things, because we desire those things too, and we hold these things in high regard. How do we, especially because we're at the beginning of the year, how do we navigate the balance between our aspirations, desires, and preparation for these things, and not allowing it to become an idol or allowing it to become the central component of our identities?
Ooh, such a good question. This one always sets me on fire. I think the core of this is an identity issue.
Right.
If you're constantly being told that the whole point of your femininity was to be a wife.
Yeah.
The whole point of your identity, the reason why you were created and put on this world, was to be a wife.
Yep.
You will think that because you're not operating in your function, you're faulty.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have an appliance and it's not, if your toaster is not toasting bread, you're going to say, what's this thing is broken.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? And so a lot of us dealt to think, is it something broken about my looks, my personality, my... Have I not read enough, prayed enough, thought about being a wife enough? Have I not prepared myself enough, do you get what I mean, to be worthy and to be functional?
Right.
And I think a lot of people and their criticism of patriarchal or Abrahamic faith is that it has positioned or created this idea that women were purely made to be helpers to men.
Right.
They were purely made to be wives. When actually, that's not what... I'm a Christian, so the Bible. Yeah. That's actually not what the Bible says. A lot of people look towards like the whole Genesis 2, Genesis 3 of, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. God talking about Adam, the first man. Mm-hmm. It's not good for man to be alone. Let me make a helper meet for him.
Right.
And now Eve comes into the picture for that purpose, you know, taken for Adam's, from Adam's rib. You probably saw in your childhood Bible. taken from man's side. But so people see that and they think, oh, you see another religion that says that women are only because men are, do you get what I mean? Yeah. Women exist only to satisfy men, or they came from men. When actually, if you want to get an understanding of the identity of women, you need to go back to Genesis 1, where God says, let us make man in our image on the sixth day.
Right.
Let us make man in our image to have dominion, to rule over the earth, to cultivate, to do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And in saying that, he made man male and female in the image of God. He made the image of God male and female. And so if you need to understand what femininity is, femininity didn't enter into the picture, or female didn't enter into the picture when a man was helpless.
Right.
Female entered the picture when God was trying to make an image of himself. And so if you really want to understand the image of God, or like as the... Is it the Hebrew?
Yep.
It's not the Greek. It's the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Puts it the Imago Dei. You need to understand that the image of God is incomplete without female, as it is incomplete without male. If you want to know what God looks like, you have to put a man and a woman together. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for us to remember that our identity is not in the function of being a wife. A wife can be a part of our identity, but it cannot be all that we are, because that was not our original purpose when we were created. Mm-hmm. What we were created was to be an expression of the image of God, right? And so what does that mean? It means to have dominion. It means to rule. It means to not necessarily rule over men, but rule over the earth. That was the instruction that was given. And so I think it's interesting that when we are told to get married, it becomes an idol, because it becomes the main source of our identity. It becomes the God that we serve. Mm-hmm, it becomes the motivation why we do everything. Mm-hmm. And one of the main ways you know you're serving an idol is because what motivated you to worship it in the first place was fear.
Yeah.
Right. When you go back to like Exodus and you see the children of Israel say, where is God? He's basically abandoned us. Mm. We need to make an idol which we can worship. We need to make a God that will protect us, that will guide us. And so they all put their jewelry together and they make this golden calf. Do you get what I mean? They did it because they were scared.
Yeah.
And so a lot of us are actually scared. We've been taught to be scared of the idea, or this potential threat that is loneliness, when actually we can never be alone. If you have friends, if you have community, but also if you have an ever-present God, how can you be lonely? It is only if you think the presence of God and the presence of people is sub to the idea of being a wife, right? If you're taught that it doesn't mean anything compared to having a ring on your finger.
Yeah.
And a lot of us are being spun that lie, that actually having friends, having a family, like a not just a family in terms of your biological children, but a family in terms of people who love you, a community, a village, is not worthwhile if you are not a wife, right? Because the wife is the status, the wife is the identity, the wife is the completion of your function. And that's a lie.
Yep. Straight from the pits of hell. That's a lie.
Not to say that you cannot see the beauty of what you've been created to be and your purpose within marriage. Because if it's a part of your story, God's going to show you exactly what he's made. And he's going to reveal his glory through it. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. However, if it's not a part of your story, God's glory is not absent.
Yep.
His glory in your life will still be seen and will still shine.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't pale in comparison to somebody who is married and who is living that story. Because a lot of us think, how can God get the glory over my life? How can I be a woman walking in purpose if I haven't got a home to tend to? Because you have a society to tend to.
Oh.
You have a job to tend to. You have responsibilities. Do you get what I mean?
You have things to do.
You have things to do. And this is why I get so upset, because a lot of women have parked their idea of having things to do till they get married. I won't travel till I get married.
Yeah.
I won't start my business till I can do it with my husband.
Yeah,
I can't do it till I can do it with my husband. Okay, I get it. Marriage is a priority, but for God's sake, you're not dead. You're not dead just because you're single. Wake up.
Come alive.
Get to work. Do your thing.
Right.
Do you get what I mean? Be the Proverbs 31 woman before you get a man to marry. Do you get what I mean? At the end of the day, if you can't be a Proverbs 31 woman for the King of Kings, you don't deserve to marry a king. You need to do God's work. I'm just being honest, girl.
Have you seen that meme of that person? the wind is blowing and their edges are actually like...
I'm being serious. Parted. I'm being serious. Like, when we think about Christianity, the image of, you know, the image of marriage is often likened to God coming back for his bride.
Right.
And I think a lot of us get lost in the fact that thinking life is only this microcosm that is marriage, or this one event that happens, which is a wedding day where a groom is reunited with his bride. But then you forget, actually, no, this is the display of something much bigger, of something eternal, which is that Christ is coming back for us, right, as his bride. And so you qualify qualify as something before you even get married, right? And you're preparing yourself for something before you even get married.
Yeah.
And if you're telling yourself that actually nothing else matters, you actually do have an idol. You think that marriage will save you.
Yeah.
Marriage is not a savior.
Not even just that, but you also think that you can conjure up the perfect partner by displaying the traits of that functionality.
And now
right?
you think you're punished when you get some. Hmm? Now you think you're being punished when you get a partner and you go through trials, even though trials in marriage are inevitable.
Inevitable. Like you can't Proverbs 31 your way out of marriage troubles. Marriage is a covenant. Long-term relationships require commitment. And there's going to be some hurdles that you face. Even in our covenant with the Father, do we not face hurdles?
Issues.
The one thing that's actually inevitable is suffering. Suffering. For real? No, because I get it, right? Like we're living in times where people want to avoid suffering. Mm. Suffering is painful. Mm. Suffering hurts, but it's inevitable. Yeah. The human condition, like we are predisposed to suffering. Mm-hmm. So if you live a life avoiding suffering, you can never experience true joy.
Yes.
So even when it comes to marriage, but also in the other things that you're doing, because this avoidant behavior, we see it across the spectrum, yeah. right? We're constantly doing things that we want, that bring us ease, right?
Yes.
You can't really live a life of true ease, true joy without the pain and suffering that comes with
Facts.
It. So stop avoiding the pain. 100%. Stop avoiding the pain and suffering and stop thinking that leaning into this whole idea of femininity
yeah.
will entitle you to a good man.
A life of ease.
The
thing is, you probably will get a good man.
100%.
He just won't be perfect.
He won't be there will be something about it.
There's a difference between good and perfect.
Good and perfect. And perfect according to the standards of society. Because some of us are trying to fulfill biblical standards of womanhood to find a worldly husband.
Through the methods
Do you know
of
what
the
I mean?
World.
Through the methods of the world. You think that some of these worldly men that are doing six figures, they're not going to the church to look for their wives.
Exactly.
Because you're playing a function. Ooh, you are cosplaying as the wife that they're looking God. For. But they don't actually have a relationship with the creator. Mm. But because you think that cosplaying as a biblical wife, taking the principles of, oh, if I show up like this, I will get a man, not the man that God wants for me, but a man that I think the world yes. sees as respectable. And this is how you end up in relationships where you are unequally yoked.
Mm.
Because by the standard of the world, this man is perfect. Mm. He's making six figures. He's tall. He's handsome.
But he's spiritually dead.
Have you ever seen, like, there was this ad that I watched a couple of months ago, and it was this guy who was like at a party living his best life, all that kind of stuff, and they switched it to like the spiritual lens of what that looks like in the back, like spiritually. That man was chilling with zombies. He was there enjoying like with all of these babes, but through his spiritual eyes, all of these babes were looking moth-eaten. Everything was just looking bad.
Yeah.
And it's like, everything can look so perfect on the exterior. Everything can feel as though, you know, you're getting the glory,
yeah.
you are enjoying this relationship, but it's actually not a relationship of purpose or covenant. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
even with the story of like the golden calf, they were inspired by worldly things.
Yes.
They were inspired by the Egyptians
yep.
to build that calf.
Yeah.
Some of us are cosplaying biblical.
Yeah, we are
with
modeling
inspiration,
off of the world.
Modeling off of the world. We are taking biblical principles. We are taking femininity principles and applying them to obtain not God's favor, but favor with man. And we don't even know
it. We don't even know it.
Like when we really even think about like preferences and all that kind of stuff, if you really unearth it, why do I have a particular preference for this? And to what extent am I allowing that preference to rule me, right? It's one thing to have a preference, but it's another thing to have a ruler. Too many of us are being ruled by our preferences. We're being ruled by our preferences.
That's deep.
Do you know what I mean? Like so many characteristics and traits. It's like, oh, was it really God that put onto your heart that you have to be with this man that makes six figures, even though he sucks as a human being? Was it really God that put onto your heart that, oh, I need to be with a man that is minimum 6'2"?
Yeah.
Was it really God that put these things onto your heart?
And oftentimes it's because you don't believe God is a provider. You don't believe God is a provider. And when you have idols, the one thing God is not going to do is bring you something that you can worship instead of him.
Do you know
he
what I
will
mean?
Pluck that thing. It's like even with the dilemma, not to say this is your exact situation, this is not a prophecy, but when we get the things we want, God will be quick to show us why it is an insufficient God.
Thank you. Oh, listen, and that is why it's actually important for couples to experience hardship in their, within the scope of their relationship. Hear me and hear me well. I'm not saying that you have to go through suffering.
Oh, sorry. That's another thing I was going to say. Yeah. Hard doesn't mean commit to dysfunction. Yeah, hard and dysfunction is not
listen,
the same.
Listen, I, God forbid, I don't ever want to see, those stupid posts on social media. No, we have to speak about it. Those stupid posts on social media are, I'm with my babes. We've gone through so much. I've put her through hell.
So much. And she's still standing with
me. If you've put her through hell, we need to send you back to hell.
You're a demon.
You're a devil. Your commitment to dysfunction.
Why do you know hell?
Your commitment to dysfunction should not be the reality that I'm experiencing. Mm-hmm. You should not be the reason. Raison d'être. You know what I'm saying? Your reason of being should not be to cause dysfunction in this relationship.
Havoc, man.
In the same way that we are often not perfect in relationships, certain traumas, triggers, etc., we have to go through a little bit of suffering, a little bit of shaking up, a little bit of suffering so that God can actually be glorified. When we're thinking about someone like Michelle Obama and Barack Obama, yeah. right? Yes, there were hard seasons, testing seasons, but they're still standing.
Yes.
And you cannot tell me that they didn't have to do work to get that. Mm-hmm. Listen, people idolize that relationship. Mm-hmm. Stop idolizing relationships, guys. But people look to those relationships. Or even when I think of the important long-standing relationship examples that I have in my life, all of them spoke of very, very hard marriages. They've gone through things together, right? That they fought through and they fought with God to overcome.
Good.
There will be some times where you will have to go to God about your partner. There will be some times that your partner will have to go to God about you or a problem.
Boy, and in those times, you better pray that God has your partner's heart in his hands. Because if your partner isn't submitted to God, you praying to God, what can he do? You went What's and got yourself a man with a heart of stone, and now you're asking me to make it a heart of flesh. I can't do that. He hasn't given it to me.
Fam, and instead, you know what? What's even worse about that is, instead of going to God about that issue, you will now be doing, I need to be more feminine.
Yourself have the power to change a person.
Hey, that's how people will be doing. And then
putting little things on your food.
Soul time,
and
all
you
that.
Think the same thing that you're trying to do to keep him, somebody is not doing it better than you. There are women who are more feminine than you.
There are witches.
There are witches who source. Witches. Shalane, what did you put in your stew? What did you put in your stew? There are people who have better potions and things than you.
Some people are veterans. There are witches that are veterans. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, they've been doing this craft for a long time.
You guys already know. Open your spiritual eyes.
Open. Open up. Open up. Open up. So please, babes. Sisters. Listen. Your season of singleness is not just about preparing to be somebody's wife, right? Even this whole idea of like my season of singleness, you know? Why is it that men don't go through a season of singleness? In fact, maybe they should, because then they'll be better prepared to be a husband.
And to be fair, there are a lot of men who are like, God, I don't want to be single for much longer.
Good for
you.
Them.
Go, I mean, we who are like, more. Nah, this whole season of singleness thing. But I think it's, for me, the season of singleness is important because you do need to view it as a season. I think when you view something as a season, it shifts your perspective.
Yeah.
Because you realize, one, this is not going to last forever.
Right.
Or maybe it will. But also, number two, my favorite quote recently, the season I'm in is seasoning.
Come on.
Right?
Where
this is actually preparing me for something. It's preparing me for the next step.
Right.
And so I think I know we've said that, oh no, your singleness isn't just about preparation for marriage. It's not. It's about preparing yourself for something bigger for your life. And that thing isn't just marriage, right?
Yeah.
That thing is maturity. Mm-hmm. That thing is understanding purpose and really walking into it. Your purpose may be to be a wife and a mother, but your purpose may also be the next business you're about to start with your friend, which you don't see coming, or that thing God is going to tell you to do and pick up as an investment, which you now need to sharpen yourself for. You're not going to school just to have certificates, which will increase your bride price. You're going to school to become a better contributor to the human world.
I love that you said that, because some of you have your degree, but the information that you got from that
degree, you have no idea.
You got the certificate and you said that was it. You went to study sociology, but you're contributing nothing to society.
Nothing to society.
You did engineering. What are you engineering in this life? Nothing.
Do something, please.
Something like those aunties.
No, do something. something.
You're skilled.
Just, you are so intelligent, so bright.
But you lack focus.
Oh, you lack purpose. You lack purpose. Do something. Hey. Because even the season of singleness, or being single, starts to become frustrating and starts to feel lonely because you're idle. Your idol.
What does the good book say about idol hands?
You are idle. Go and find something to do. I can't wait to have a daughter, man. You're being idle.
Idol.
The devil preys on that. Like, the enemy really does prey on our minds. Right. Next thing, all you can do is think about, I wish I was out right now. Mm-hmm. All of my friends are out with their boyfriends. No, they're at work. They're actually at work.
They're working.
Go and do something.
And even this, boyfriend. Do you know, maintaining a relationship mm-hmm. is a lot.
It's another challenge.
Enjoy this season of singleness. Enjoy that you can go outside. you don't have to account to anybody.
Literally.
You can eat. Your bill is low because you can eat for yourself. You people think you're entering into a relationship. This guy, depending on who you go out with, right? Obviously, that's your value split and that kind of stuff. You'll now have to be thinking, oh, what can I get this guy for Christmas and Valentine's Day and all that? I don't want to trigger anybody. Valentine's Day is coming.
Valentine's Day is coming.
What are you going to give your boyfriend or something from your nyash?
Now you got to do something.
What will you do?
Now you've got to do
skilled
something.
Skilled babes listening to this. Listen. Skilled.
Nah, please, guys, arise. Arise and go to work. Arise and start walking in your purpose. Because that's how literally so many of you, like so many of us get driven crazy when it feels like because we are not doing anything.
Right.
We become jealous. 100%. We become comparative.
Focus.
We start to believe in lies that are, you see, I just don't deserve anything good. It's because you're doing nothing.
Idle.
Arise and go
you know
outside.
What? When you're busy, when you're not idle, you won't be entertaining rubbish.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's when you're, because you know when you're busy, you have things to do. You're focused. You're not going to be taking any rubbish.
Facts.
Some of you are taking rubbish because you're idle.
Facts.
Stop it.
Facts.
Don't be at all of these men, especially the ones that misbehaving. They'll tell you, oh, I want to marry you. Idle. Them two are idle. One thing about when you're idle, you'll connect with more idle people. When you're lazy, you will connect with lazy people.
Just doing nothings together.
Be a go-getter. If you want a go-getter, be a go-getter.
Just go and be a go-getter. And that isn't in the pursuit of the reward that is a relationship.
Yep.
Just keep yourself occupied and you will see what God will do through your life, not just in the area of marriage, but like the satisfaction you'll get from so many other things. And I'm not saying that this is the guarantee that you'll never feel that I wish I had a partner or I wish I wasn't single right now. You'll definitely feel it. Oh, as for that one, you'll feel it 100%. However,
big facts,
you'll also be comforted in the fact that though I may be alone, I am not lonely.
Right.
Though I am single, I am not on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have people around me, and that is a blessing.
Hallelujah.
Because there are also people who are in marriages who are still alone,
single mothers.
Do you get? So let's just think about the fact that contentment is the key this year.
Hallelujah. Contentment.
Be content and make your life something that you can be content with.
Contentment is the key. 2024, can we get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Now, if you would like to offer any offerings to
you guys,
the
really
ministry
got a lot of preaching
of
today, actually.
They get, I'm screaming. That's how you know you preach, though.
Yeah.
They're like, when your hair starts looking a little bit, that's when. But sisters, we hope you enjoyed that episode.
Really,
it always feels like time just goes by so quickly, and this was a great conversation. If you are currently single and mingling, you are single and maybe inside your bedroom and whatnot, we want to hear your thoughts. There you go. How are you navigating the season of singleness in this time?
Yeah.
And also the ladies that are actually in long-term relationships, healthy ones, y'all been toxic ones, I need you to take a step back. Those in healthy marriages and relationships, come forward.
Tell us.
Come on, just ask. We need things to look forward to. Every day I'm watching the news, somebody's divorced. You know, somebody's break up.
Sad news.
Let's put things back together again. Sisters, we absolutely adore you. And you know how you can, you know, we were speaking about idleness.
How can you get active?
You know, get active. You can be active in this community. By following us on all of our social media accounts at To My Sisterhood,
where we'll
be dropping tidbits of fun stuff every single day across the platforms. Instagram, yeah. LinkedIn, yeah, yeah, yeah. TikTok, yeah, yeah, yeah. Twitter, oh sorry, X. X.com. All of them, come and join the sisterhood and make sure that you follow us individually on our glowing and growing journeys. The lovely prophetess to my left over here at CD Boate. Come on guys, follow her, give her a follow. Come on, let's go. And of course, come and say hi to me, your resident other sister over here at Renee Kapuku.
We love to see it. And make sure you sign up to our mailing list where we send you weekly glowing and growing tips straight to your inbox. Okay, love letters galore. So head over to our website, twomysisters.com, to put in your email address so you can be signed up to that.
We
love to see it.
Sisters, you have a phenomenal week ahead.
Yes, please.
And as always, keep glowing and growing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.